The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Take your Bibles, turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we've mentioned a couple of times we're going to be looking at the passage of verse 27 through 29 both today and next week. I want to give you two other passages of Scripture to be prepared for that we will be looking at. There will be a couple that I will give you in addition to these, but they're close in proximity to the text that we're studying. But I would like for you to be prepared to have Matthew chapter 7 ready as well, Matthew 7. And additionally, 1 John, not the Gospel of John where we are, but 1 John, the epistle in the back of your Bible, 1 John chapter 2. So Matthew 7 and 1 John 2 will be another couple passages that we will be looking at this morning to supplement the text that we are studying this morning. The title of today is Jesus' Sheep. They hear Him, they're known by Him, and they follow Him. Last week we looked at John 10 verses 22 through 42 in this bigger chunk of Scripture because I wanted us to see the entire thematic content that Jesus was challenging the Jewish leaders about how that He had shown them who He was. They asked the question very pointedly, when are you going to tell us that you're the Christ? Remember Jesus' answer to them last week as Jesus said, I've already told you and I've shown you. And we looked at Scripture of all the different ways by which Jesus made very clear that He was the Christ. And then as Jesus explained to them, He connected Himself with God by making the claim that He says in verse 30, I and the Father are one, which means that He is equal to God, He is God. And it infuriated the Jews, and they picked up stones to kill Him. Jesus challenged them and asked them once again, which miracle are you going to stone me for? And they said, not for the miracles, but the fact that you are blaspheming, making yourself equal to God by calling yourself the Son of God. Jesus then quotes a psalm. He challenges them to look at the Scripture and how God has called leaders of the day, the Israelite kings, and called them sons of God, and yet Jesus says, and so it's not blasphemous for me to say I am the Son of God. And so they didn't throw the stones, but they sought to arrest Him. But Jesus held out an invitation to them once again, and He says, but believe the works that you see. If you don't believe what I'm saying, believe the works. But they chose not to believe. They stood on the outside of coming into the kingdom. And it is set within this picture where Jesus is saying these individuals who, although they had seen, although they had heard, were not a part of His sheep because they chose not to believe. But in contrast, at the very end of this passage of Scripture, in verses 40 through 42, we have this picture where Jesus left Jerusalem. He went on the other side of the Jordan where John the Baptist had performed his ministry. You understand, by this time, John the Baptist is dead. He was executed at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And when Jesus goes to the other side, they say, John the Baptist did no signs, but everything he said about you is true, and so we believe. They had no signs, they had no miracles, but yet they heard. John the Baptist had exalted Christ. We saw that as an application for us, is that our responsibility as believers is to simply do the same thing that John the Baptist did, simply exalt Christ and trust for God to draw people to Himself. And so as Jesus went over there, it says many people believed. And so what we have is this picture of two groups of people. People who believed at the end became a part of His sheep, and those who were on the outside that were not a part of His sheep. And in the middle of all of this, Jesus says in John 10:27, read the text with me. He makes it clear in regards to who are His. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. They hear, we are known, and we follow. The question I want to ask you from the very beginning as we start today is simply this. The descriptions that Jesus gives us today in His Word, I want you to ask it very pointedly of yourself. Do these descriptions of the sheep describe me? Many people in this room and those who are listening and throughout the world may claim that they are the sheep of Jesus. But the question is, you can claim it all you want to, but do these descriptions describe you? And so I pray that today, that if they do, they will encourage your hearts. And much like what Tim prayed even just a moment ago, that if it does not describe you and the Spirit of God begins to quicken your heart and mind, that He would quicken you and you would hear Him today for the first time and you would repent and you would believe. Listen to me. Just because you sit in these seats week after week or you've listened multiple times doesn't mean you are a sheep of Jesus. You need to hear this. Understand that these descriptions, it's a self-evaluation this morning. And if you are His sheep, you have a reason to be thankful, because next week we're going to look at verse 28 and the promises that Jesus gives those who are His. We're going to unpack those. That He says we'll have eternal life, we'll never perish, and we're held in His hand, secured. So today, as we unpack this verse, I pray that it will encourage you and it will challenge you. So let's take them one by one. What does it mean for Jesus' sheep to be able to hear His voice? Now remember, Jesus started this whole teaching with a story. He started it in verses 1 through 5 with this somewhat kind of illustration, a picture story to be able to depict in regards to what He means about shepherds and sheep. Let's go back and read that so we can understand contextually what Jesus is talking about. Let's read it. Verse 1 of John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Do you see the exact same things that Jesus describes in John 10, 27? He says it right here in this story. Look at it again there in verse 3. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by what? Name, and leads them out. Verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his what? Voice. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, understanding what Jesus says in John 27, because he's talking to these Jews who claim to be followers of Abraham, followers of God. So understand this. He's speaking to religious people. Religious people who thought that they were followers of God, and Jesus is making it very clear, my sheep, though, hear my voice. Now, I wanted to see this, unpack this, each one of these in a very practical way that you can understand it. When Jesus says this element of you hear his voice, what Jesus says here in the original language, it means this. If you hear him, you keep on hearing him. It's not that you just hear one time and you never hear his voice again. Now, I want to make certain that you understand that we're not talking about this audible voice where God speaks out. Now, could God do that? He could do so if he so chose to. He's God. He could do what he wants to do. But what Jesus is referring to here is this spiritual element of the call of God to hear his voice, and you keep on hearing him. You cannot say that you are a follower of Jesus and that you are his sheep and you're not hearing his voice. If you are his sheep, you know his voice. You know. So if you're sitting here saying, I don't know if I've ever heard his voice, you know it when you hear it. The Spirit of God that draws you, it's that illumination, it's an understanding, but I want you to say from the understand, from the beginning, all three of these elements, I'm going to unpack them and show them to you. They are all in what I'm going to get technical with you. I do this only when it's necessary. In the Greek language, each of these, hear, are known, and follow, are in the present tense, which means it happens and it keeps happening. You hear and you keep on hearing. You're known and you're kept on knowing by God. And you follow and you keep on following. This is not some flighty, easy believism that you say, I'm a follower of Jesus, and you don't look like him, you look more like the world. This is not some easy, flighty say, well, I hear the Lord, and you've never heard him again. No, Jesus says, my sheep hear me, and they keep on hearing me. My sheep are known by me, and I keep on knowing them. My sheep follow, and they keep on following. We're going to unpack all of that today. So just from the very beginning, does that describe you? Does it describe your behavior, your characteristic? If Sunday morning is the only time that you're following Jesus, I'm here to tell you, you're not following Jesus. Sunday hour, Sunday once a day, once a week is not following. That's religious behavior. And that religious behavior will end you up in hell. Hear the text this morning. I want you to hear Jesus' warning. He held out the invitation to the religious leaders and they walked away. They didn't hear it. So let's talk about two aspects of hearing. So yes, it's a hearing and keep on hearing. Let me unpack that. So what that means is if you're a follower of Jesus, there's an initial hearing of his voice. And then there's a continual hearing of his voice. Let's unpack the initial hearing, what we mean by this. How does someone hear his voice? Romans 10, verse 17, I'll put on the screen for you, for those who are taking notes, says this: faith comes by hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. Meaning, how has God spoken? How does he speak? What is this called? The Bible, God's word. Paul says in Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing and the hearing from the word of Christ. Genesis through Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy was most likely written by Moses when they were in the wilderness, some 1400 years prior to Jesus. The New Testament was written sometime between 50 AD, most likely James or 1 Thessalonians, but being one of the very first books that was written in the New Testament. Yes, the Gospels cover the chronology of Jesus, but the first things written was most likely 1 Thessalonians or James. And then the book of Revelation was written AD 90. So you have this amazing amount of 1500 years where God inspired people to write the word of God. Here we are now in 2022 AD in the year of our Lord. So now do the math. Some 1400 years prior to Jesus. Now here we are 2000 years. And prior to all of that, according to Hebrews 1, before the written word was down, Hebrews 1 says, before these times, the Lord spoke through his prophets and he spoke to people directly. So God has been speaking since the beginning, and he continues to speak to us today. So how does he speak? He speaks through his word. Y'all got to be a little bit more energetic today. He speaks to us through his word. You say, I want God to speak to me. Guess what? He's already spoken. He speaks to us through the word of God. So when you're thinking about how did you come to faith in Christ, this is why missions is so important. People don't come to Jesus without hearing the word of God. You didn't come to, those of you who are believers, you didn't come to faith in Jesus on your own. You didn't come to faith in Jesus by watching CNN. You didn't come to faith in Jesus by just simply reading The Advocate. You came to faith in Jesus because the word was spoken. God uses the word as the means to speak into your life and to your soul. And it's that that quickens the ability to hear him. So there's an initial hearing when God does the work in Jesus' ministry. When he began, when he was on the earth, it was his literal voice that was being spoken. For example, I'm going to give you a couple of verses to write down. This will not be on the screen. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Mark 1, 14 and 15. Mark tells us that when Jesus began his ministry, he said these words, quote, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." So the hearing from the word of Christ was literally the words of Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, a few verses later, verse 17, when Jesus speaks to his apostles, he says, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." So the hearing for these people, in order for them to become followers of Jesus, was literally through the audible voice of Jesus. But then, after Jesus' ministry, he commissioned the apostles, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, as well as the end of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Jesus gives what we call the Great Commission, and he charged them, "Go, make disciples, and teach them all that I have commanded you." And the end of the Gospel of Luke, he says, "Go and proclaim repentance and forgiveness of sins. Proclaim the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Jesus gave the charge. He didn't say, "Go teach morality." He says, "Go proclaim the good news." And it's through the proclamation of the gospel after Jesus, and the same is now. They were proclaiming the words of God. It is what I am doing for you. It is what you do when you go tell someone. You're proclaiming the words of God. So an initial hearing only happens through the word of God. Why? Because it's the word of God that's spirit inspired. It's the word of God that quickens the dead man to bring him to life. So your initial hearing has to come from what? The word of God. It is what continues now. For some of you, you heard the initial hearing, maybe from a friend. Maybe it was a billboard message that you saw. Maybe it was a song that you heard on the radio that was speaking and proclaiming truth. Maybe it was from a small group leader. Maybe it was from a sermon that you hear. But some of you in this room, praise God, from your testimonies, you had the Bible, you were just reading it, and you got saved just by reading the Bible. Imagine that. Why is that possible? How is it doable? How does that work? It is the work of the Spirit. It's the conversation that Nicodemus had with Jesus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus, as Jesus was telling him, when Nicodemus is asking, how does a person get born again? Let me translate that and put it in this context. How does someone hear? And Jesus says, you see the wind, but you don't know where it comes from. And the same thing as someone who's born again by the Spirit of God. You don't so know where it comes from, but you see the evidence and the Spirit of God works in person. The initial hearing, for those of you that's in this room, you think back to the moment where God opened up your ears and opened up your mind to be able to understand. For some of you, you can think of a moment. I know I can. But for some of you, there's not a certain moment. There's a season. You can just look back and say, man, my life changed. I can't describe it, but I know that God changed my life. How many is that for you? Yeah, you can say not a season, but some of you have moments. You can say, man, I know a moment. I know a time. I know a day. Mine was very dramatic. Mine was very real in regards to when there's a moment in time for me. June 1986, at a revival, sitting on the second row on the right side on the hardest wood pews ever created on the face of the earth. And a revival preacher looking me straight in the face at the end of the invitation, and he looks and he says, someone in this room is under conviction. It was during response time. He says, when you open up your eyes, my finger's going to be in your face. I open up my eyes and there was this preacher pointing at me. How would you like me to do an invitation like that for you today? Someone's under conviction. I'm going to walk down and see who it is. I don't recommend that method, but God used it. But I remember very clearly, under the conviction of the Spirit of God, I can remember. I can't remember everything He taught that day, but I remember hearing the voice of God. The hearing was the conviction of my sin, the need for a Savior, and knowing that I needed Him. That's what the hearing is like. Some of you may have seen, let me illustrate this way. It's all over different YouTube stories, but there's these wonderful stories about children who are born without hearing, and somehow tests happened where they perform and learn that maybe the child is deaf or is almost borderline deaf. I watched one this week. The Lord just brought it to mind. I just searched, and there was this beautiful little toddler. He wasn't even able to speak yet, and they showed these videos of the mama saying his name just at the home, and he never responded. I thought something was wrong with him, only to discover that he couldn't hear. Take him to the doctor's office, and they put these specialized hearing aids on his ears. He's just simply playing, and the mama says, Micah. He looks up, and he smiles. And she said, do you hear me now? And he begins to laugh. He heard his mom's voice for the first time. Many of us are just like that child. That's what it's like before you're saved. You are clueless. You may sit here, but you're clueless. You understand the doctors had to put the hearing aids on, enabling that child to be able to hear. And for those of us, when you look back and you say that you can hear Him now, I want you to understand something. You didn't turn on your spiritual hearing. It was through the work of the Word of God and the Spirit of Christ who turns it on to enable you to be able to hear. So if you can hear His voice, it's not congratulations. It is thank you, Lord, that I can hear Your voice. Now understand something. When Jesus says these words back in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. We have a different understanding of what hearing means in our culture. For example, whether you're an employer, whether you're a family member, whatever, you ask someone to do something. We've probably all had these situations. You've asked someone to do something, and only to find out, if you're an employer, maybe to an employee or a parent to a child or whatever it may be, or a coworker, you've asked someone to do something, come back, and you realize it's not done, and you ask them the question, hey, did you... Sounds like it's happened to you before. Do you hear me? And some of them might say, yeah, I heard you. But you didn't do anything. Listen, this is the difference between hearing in our culture and what God, if you go through the Old Testament and what it means in hearing. In the Jewish understanding, for example, when you get to the Shema of Deuteronomy chapter 6, Shema is the Hebrew word for hear. Hearing was equated with obedience. Hearing was not equated with just audible recognition. This is why when you get to James, the book of James, and the book of James says, let's not be hearers only, but to be doers of the word. So when Jesus is saying, my sheep hear my voice, he's not saying you just recognize me, because guess what? These Jews were audibly recognizing his voice. They knew he was Jesus, but they weren't hearing him because they weren't responding and believing. So my question is, are you hearing the voice of God? Have you heard the call to salvation? That's what he's talking about. So that's the initial hearing. Let's talk about continually hearing. If you have initially heard him, and you know that God has redeemed your soul, he has saved you, you've heard his voice, are you continually hearing him? Now, there's two ways that I want you to understand that as a believer now, how that you continue to hear him. Two things. Through the word and through the Holy Spirit. But don't divorce the two. Because the word is Holy Spirit inspired. So if you say, well, I think that God said something to me. Listen to me. God is never going to say anything to you that's contrary to what he's already written. So if you say, well, God said that to me. I've had people say this to me before in a situation several years ago. And they would tell me something and it was a sinful behavior. It was a sinful action. They said, well, God told me I could do this. I'm like, no. Well, the voice that you're hearing is not the voice of God. It might be some other voice, but it's not God's. Because God is not going to contradict himself in regards to what he has spoken. God hasn't changed his mind when he wrote the last word, when the last pen etched on the book of Revelation. God didn't say, let me just think about changing my mind on something else. No, God's standard, holiness, righteousness, truth, law, goodness, character, attributes, his standards are all the same. They've not changed. So when we say that we... hearing through the Holy Spirit, I want to make sure you understand it's the Spirit who works in us to help us understand the Word. Let me show you two verses to help you to understand. So if you're saying, okay, I'm a sheep, I want to make certain I'm really hearing Him. The first one, John 8. You're in this gospel already. Look at John 8. Jesus answers this for us himself of how you continue to hear His voice. John 8, verse 47. This is how we hear through His Word. Because notice what Jesus says. As he's talking to these same Jewish leaders, in John 8, 47. Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you're not hearing them is that you're not of God. So Jesus is saying, if you're going to hear me, it's through the word of God. Now, what word did they have at this time? They didn't have the New Testament written down. What they had was the Old Testament. So guess what? God still speaks in Genesis. He still speaks in Malachi. He still speaks in Ezekiel. He still speaks in Hosea. He still speaks in Joel and Amos and Nahum, Obadiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah. He still speaks. You want to hear his voice? He's calling out from these pages. How do we know that? Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, the word of God is a living word of God. This is not black and white on a page. Listen to me, nothing in this world is going to change you like the Word of God. Certain things may move you emotionally, but it will not change your life like the Word of God will. The Word is living. It's inspired. And so when Jesus says in John 10, 27, my sheep hear my voice. So we hear it initially. We hear it continually through His Word. But then look with me to John chapter 16. Jesus makes it very clear also that we're going to hear His Word through the Holy Spirit. Now let me say this to you. You know that if you've not heard Him initially, You may read these words like a historical document, but when you hear his voice and the Spirit comes to live inside of you, these pages come alive. The Holy Spirit illuminates you to understand. Paul says it this way. This is not going to be on the screen. You can write it down. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul says these truths are Spirit-inspired, meaning these things come alive as the Spirit of God works in you. John 16, as Jesus is talking about when he's getting ready to leave, he's explaining to the apostles how in the world is God going to speak to them. Notice what he says about the Holy Spirit. John 16, verse 12 through 15. I'm helping you to understand. If you're wanting, if you say, I've heard his voice, I'm not sure how to hear his voice any longer, Jesus makes it very clear. This is not some Eastern mysticism setting with your legs crossed in some kind of trance to be able to wait to hear for him to speak to you. It's not rocket science. He's spoken to us through his word. And he says now in John 16, verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. Who's the me referring to? Jesus. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Holy Spirit is going to declare what? What the Lord has already declared. He's going to declare it to you and what has been declared. This word right here. So if you're wanting to be able to hear him continually, number one is to be redeemed by the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God that illuminated the very people who wrote these words. So God is going to continually speak to you through the Spirit, through the Word. So if you're saying, I want to hear your voice, then get your nose in this book. It is how we will hear his voice and continually hear his voice. So I have two questions for you. Well, let me say this first, and then we'll give you two questions. Understand this. You and I need to make certain that we're hearing the shepherd's voice because there are many other voices that exist out there. Do you hear me? Look at chapter 10, verse 5. Go back to chapter 10, verse 5. Let's actually read 3 through 5. Remember, this is the story, the picture illustration that Jesus is using to describe this agrarian culture of shepherds and sheep. Understand it was commonplace for them there. It was not uncommon. It was not unknown. They knew very well what Jesus was talking about because it was commonplace. I mean, the area outside of Jerusalem is full of plateau area. It's miles of just of pasture land where shepherds had sheep that they were out there all day long. So they knew what he was talking about. But then let's look at verse 3. To him the gatekeeper opens. To the sheep hear his voice. He calls them own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Now, the strangers that was here in this culture, listen close, I'm about to tell you, were religious leaders. Satan will use whomever he wants to confuse what is true. Now, there are voices that are in this world, and they are aplenty. Jesus warns even earlier in Matthew 7, prior to the text that we're going to look at in a moment, prior to verse 21 through 23, I don't remember the exact verses that are there, but it's the paragraph right preceding 21 through 23. Jesus says, I'm warning you that there's going to be wolves that's going to come in sheep's clothing, and they're going to speak, and they're going to hear, but you've got to discern them from what is true from false. How in the world can you discern the shepherd's voice from the plethora of voices that are in the world? The only way you're going to do that is spending time with him, hearing his voice in the Word. Because if the Spirit is in you and you're reading the Word, then when you're out in the world and Satan is throwing all these different voices at you, you may not understand completely, but the Holy Spirit that's in you, you've recognized that's not the voice of the shepherd. So if you want to be able to continue to hear His voice, the only way that you're going to know His voice is by being with the shepherd. Both Liz and I had similar stories when we were, before we even knew each other, when we were children. We both got lost at Disney World. That's a crazy place to get lost. And both of us had a very similar experience, lost in the crowd, looking among the crowd, and not seeing our fathers, but almost identical in the story, but it was when they called out, "Liz, Byron," I knew my father's voice over the thousands of voices that were there. Because I had lived with him. I had heard his voice. And the same was true with Liz. There are a plethora of voices in this world that will lead us astray. And we've got to be with the shepherd so that we can know. So I'm going to just ask you two questions in regards to this first point. If you're asking yourself, number one, if you really heard, so number one is this. Are you spending time with the shepherd? Number two, do you have any sin in your life that you're harboring or you're holding on to that would prevent you from hearing the voice of the shepherd? Because if the shepherd is speaking to you, because if you're his, listen closely, if you're his and there's sin in your life, he's going to speak to you, and you have heard him speak conviction to you about getting rid of the sin. And he's not going to say anything else until you deal with that issue. Why would he? Because he's already telling you what you need to do. So if we want to hear him as his sheep, then we've got to deal with it. Deal with those sins. So that's why the gentle nudges of the Holy Spirit in us when he convicts us. Why? Because what did he say in John chapter 16? What's the role of the Holy Spirit? To glorify him. And so if the Holy Spirit's in us and we're spending time with him, oh man, the Lord, we hear his voice and we understand his voice. Now, we don't just hear his voice. Jesus says the second description is we don't just hear his voice. Now, this one is more about him to us. We hear his voice, but he knows us. Look at the text again in John 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I, say it louder, I know them. Now, this is real important. You may know the shepherd, but the question is, does the shepherd know you? Now listen to me. Let me illustrate this way. You've heard me quote different preachers at times. One that I've quoted is John Piper. I was impacted greatly by his preaching when I was in college. Now John Piper, I could tell you a lot about him. I've studied his preaching, I've studied his philosophy, I've studied his methodology, I've studied his doctrine. On Instagram, he has over 90,000 followers. Now, I could tell you, I know him, but he don't know me. Many of us have Jesus' Instagram account, but he doesn't know us. What I mean by that is this. You could quote scripture, you could say that you know him, you know things about him, but the question is, does he know us? Now, understand this. His sheep he knows by name. Now, listen close to doctrinal truth. According to Scripture, Jesus knows everyone because he's the Creator. But when Jesus says his sheep are known by him, you move from a creation to intimacy, to relationship. That you move from just being a created being to being a child, to being his sheep. Does God know everyone? Yes, because he's God. He knows all things. But in a relationship ways, when Jesus says, "And my sheep, I know them by name." Let me help you understand what Jesus is using. Go back to 10, John 10, verses 1 through 3. Now again, understand this illustration picture that Jesus is using is the agrarian illustration of the culture of that day of shepherd and sheep. And when he goes to the sheepfold in regards, remember at the end of the day, all the shepherds of that day would bring their sheep. They would put it in this big sheepfold pen. There was someone who was hired as the gatekeeper. They would stay there all night. The shepherd's job was tiresome. It was weary. They were out in the sun most of the day, and they were, it's a lonely job. I mean, they're only with their sheep. So guess what? They're going to call him by name because the only people they're associating with are sheep. They're talking to them. So when you understand they're coming in, what does Jesus say about these shepherds? Look again at verse 3. To him, the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. So here's the picture. Jesus is giving this picture of the way shepherds were. Let's just say, for example, Jim here on the front, myself, and then I'll use John. Let's say that we're three shepherds. And let's say we all have 20 sheep each. At the end of the day, we go put them in the sheepfold. And at the end of the day, we're checking those sheep. But when it comes the morning time after we've rested, the gatekeeper only opens the gate for us as shepherds. And we stand there. We don't just do a whistle. But you actually call them by name. Shepherds in that day, and even today, are personal with their sheep in such a way that they know each sheep by name. He stands at the gate and he calls them. So Jim's sheep stays, John's sheep stay, but my sheep, I call them by name and they come. Understand what's happening here. So imagine, I'm calling my sheep by name. Swiftfoot. Jumpy. Happy. Turtle, let's go. Loudmouth, you too. Hey, curly horn, yes, come on. Come on. And guess who's leaving the sheep? Curly horn, Swiftfoot, Happy, Jumpy, Turtle. But the other sheep are leaving. Why? Because I spend time with the sheep, and I know them, and they know me. Understand what I'm saying to you is this. You can say all you want that you know the Lord, but the question is, does he know you? And the way that you come to know him is through hearing and believing. It's the same thing that Jesus said to the Jews. What did he ask them to do? Look at John 10:38. Look at your Bible. As he's calling out to them, he's calling out to the Jews. What is this plea that he gives them? Actually, go verse 37. If I'm not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand the Father is in me and I am in the Father. What is Jesus holding out to them? The invitation to believe. And so the invitation is held out to all of us in this room and those of you who are listening online. If you want to be able for the shepherd to know you, to move from a created being to a child, to move from a created being to his sheep, it comes through belief. And it's in that moment he knows you. He knows you by name. Now, understand this. At the end of time, I want to show you the very end. When we stand before the Lord, there are going to be many people who say to the Lord that they knew him. But he will say to them, I don't know you. Look now to Matthew 7, 21 through 23, the text I gave you at the very beginning of our time. I want you to see this. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, do mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's the key, the difference. These individuals that said they knew the Lord, they had a lifestyle of lawlessness, of sinfulness. So they were not following that third element we're going to look at. They were not following the Lord. You can do a lot of religious stuff and not be a follower of Christ. So Jesus is saying that if we are his sheep, we're going to hear his voice and we're going to keep on hearing. Now listen, I want you to go back to John 10. I want to point something out to you again. I said to you that all three of these truths, these descriptions about the sheep of hearing him and keep on hearing him and are known by him. So the Lord knows you by name. Understand this amazing truth. Jesus will continue to know his sheep. Let me say it another way. Once you believe and you become a part of his sheep, there will never be a time where Jesus will not know you. I'm going to say it a third way. There will never be a time, if you are his sheep, that he will unknow you. We live in a culture that's called cancel culture. Something happens, someone does something, and things get canceled. Accounts get canceled, things get shut down. And it's in the cancel culture where people say they knew them before, and then they'll say, I don't know you any longer. Here is the good news, believer. Listen close to me. If we are his sheep, and let's say we mess up, God knows we're messed up people. And that we've made mistakes and that we've sinned and we've faulted. But if there's a time where you've heard his voice and you are known by him, thank God that in the moments when we mess up, he doesn't cancel culture his sheep. That he holds to us and he knows us. Now listen, if we are his sheep and we begin to wander because he loves us, he's not going to let his sheep wander because the shepherd loves his sheep and he's going to go after his sheep. He's going to fulfill what he says in Hebrews chapter 12. If we are his and we are in sin, he's going to come to us, he's going to search after us, and he's going to discipline us. Why? Because he wants us to be in the flock. He knows it's not good to not be listening to the shepherd. It's not good to be wandering out there. So he knows us and he keeps on knowing us. Some of you in this room, as I even describe this, probably have people in your life that have continued to know you and love you in spite of what you have done. Some of you in this room have continued to know and love people in spite of what they have done. I want you to amplify that as far as you can. And that's God. That the things that we do and that we're dissatisfactory to him, he still loves us. Why? Because he knows us. Do you not think that when he called you by name, that he knew that he was calling an imperfect person? The answer to that question is, okay, just making sure that we're still alive this morning. He calls us. And this is the last thing I want you to understand about knowing us. He knows our weaknesses and he knows our strengths and he knows our needs. Oh, believer, if you are a part of his sheep and he is your shepherd, you don't have to go to him, and I'm going to use the term, sheepishly. Go to him confidently. Because it's a song that we sang this morning. He's our shepherd and he is all we need. Run to the shepherd. Fall before the shepherd. Plead before the shepherd. Confess your sins before the shepherd. Cry out to him for your need for him. Because he's the shepherd and he knows you by name. Whether you're a child or whether you're a teenager, whether you're an adult, you've believed and you've heard him and you are following him. Oh, listen to the shepherd and praise God and rest in the truth that he knows you by name and he's not going to cancel culture you. You and I should leap. But how many of us have canceled culture people? Out of shame, out of disappointment. But praise God, he doesn't do it to us. So we hear him. We are known by him. And the last one, look back at John 10, 27. We follow him. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and say this with me, they follow me. Now the first truth I want you to say here, as I've said to you in each of these other ones, is this. If you say that you have heard his voice, and that you say that you are known by him, and let's say you're a follower of Jesus, then you follow him and you keep on following him. You don't say, well, I followed him a long time ago, but I'm not following him now. No, no, no. Jesus says, if you are his sheep, you follow and you keep on following. Now, that doesn't mean that we may not have had a moment where we've wandered briefly. Because if you've wandered briefly, the shepherd's coming after you, thank God. Because he knows you and you are his. And remember, the whole purpose of you as the sheep is to glorify his name. So if I'm wandering from the Lord, I'm not glorifying the shepherd. So the shepherd's going to come back for me. He's going to reach for me because he wants me to be a part of the flock. He wants me to be safe. He wants me to be protected. So if I'm following him and I've wandered, then he's not going to let me just keep on wandering, wandering, and wandering, and wandering. He's going to come for me. But some of you in this room are asking the question, well, what about those people who said they follow Jesus and no longer follow him anymore? Some of you probably know people like that who said that they followed Jesus. Maybe they were gung-ho, but maybe they've, as you hear the new term in this society, they've deconstructed their faith. If you've not heard that term, get ready for it because it's out there. People who said they once were believers and they deconstruct their faith, meaning they remove away from faith. Understand this. We're going to talk about this even next week. If Jesus knows us, and we've heard him, he's not going to unknow us. So listen close. We're going to look at a verse in just a moment. It is probable that someone can be among the sheep, act like the sheep, and not be a sheep. Turn with me now to 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. 1 John 2, verse 19, it's the same author who wrote the gospel, it's the same one who wrote the epistle. And he deals with this very issue. There were people who were a part of their church. People who were part of their faith family. And the question got raised is, what about the people who once were with us and now they're gone? It's heartbreaking as a pastor and as a shepherd to see this happen. Because we are called to fulfill this same description as pastors, as 1 Peter 5 tells us, we are to be under shepherds underneath the chief shepherd. That we are to love you as sheep that God puts under our care. So understand something. When you go through our membership class, we describe this to you and explain this to you. The whole purpose of the membership is for you to say, you are entrusting us to be your shepherds. That's all what it's about. And for us to be able, by God's grace, to shepherd you well. And so as much as we can, to our ability and our humanness and the spiritual discernment to try to determine if people are true believers, there's a chance that people could be imitators or false professors and may think that they know all this stuff and not really be true believers. And then when they walk away, we do all that we can. I'm not talking about just walking away from this church. I'm talking about walking away from Jesus. And that is crushing. And it has happened. The scripture answers it for us. 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us. Now listen close. If they go out from them, guess where they once were? Among them. They went out from us. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would have, say this word, continued with us. But they went out that it might become plain that they all are not of us. So what happens when someone says they follow Jesus and they no longer follow him? Listen, here's the thing. If you're truly a follower of Jesus and you wander for a period of time, there's two things that's going to happen. One, if you're truly his, he's going to convict you to no end. And he's going to discipline you if you stay in that rebellion to get your attention back. But if you say that you are a follower of Jesus and you can walk away and live like a hellion and have no conviction whatsoever, there's a great chance you never were his. So how do we treat it? How do we treat people when someone who has quote unquote been here and they've walked away and said they don't believe in the Lord anymore? We treat them like a lost person then. Some of you in this room may have children, grandchildren or friends. And maybe you're just pleading with God for people who've wandered away, and you're pleading with God to bring them back, that they would just repent and come back and just get right. Listen, maybe you need to pray, God, open up their eyes to save them from their lostness. Maybe they're not just wandering. Maybe they were never saved to begin with. And the praying and the pleading is this. You can't be a judge you don't know. You can say, Lord, if they are yours, bring discipline to their life and conviction to bring them back. But God, if they are not yours, open their eyes to see their sinfulness and the glory of the grace of the forgiveness of the shepherd and draw them to yourself. There's a lady who is no longer here. She died a couple years ago, Miss Carolyn Bailey. Many of you know Miss Carolyn, some of you do. And when I first came here, we were praying for her son to come back to Jesus. And I remember having a conversation with her. I said, Miss Carolyn, maybe we need to pray that he would get saved. And we changed that prayer. And then in a couple of weeks, he supposedly came to faith in Christ. Simply encouraging you. If you are a follower of the Lord, you are not going to be perfect. But there should be a progression and a continuation of chasing after the shepherd. That we should follow him and keep on following him. Why would you want to do that? It's because you follow him because you know him. Go back to chapter 10, verse 4. Chapter 10, verse 4. So why would we want to follow the shepherd? He tells us right here in John 10, verse 4. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him. Why? For they know his voice. You and I may wrestle with decisions and directions of our life, but we can trust the shepherd because we know him. So I want to encourage you. It goes all the way back to this very basic truth. If we want to be able to follow him well, we need to know the shepherd well. Because if we know the shepherd well, I want to give you this third truth. You should follow him because he knows the way. Anybody been in a car caravan before? Let's just start there. Car caravan. You ever been in one of those and you're like, does that guy even know where he's going? Yeah. Someone said, yeah. You've been those places, been that time, you're like, man. But if you've been in that car caravan, though, where you know the person who's in front is like amazing navigation, it's like their Google Maps in their head. It's like they have a sense of direction that wherever they go, no matter where they are, if you were to spin them around blindfolded, they could go wherever. They just have the sense of direction. You say, I'm going to follow that person. So you're just driving the car caravan and you're not worried because you're trusting the person who's leading the way. In the essence, this is what it means as sheep who are following our shepherd. We need to follow him because he knows the way. And if we are hearing his voice and we're trusting that he knows us and we're knowing him, then when it comes to following him, we just have to trust him. Following him means sometimes we have to follow him through great difficulty. Following the shepherd does not mean that he's always going to lead us in things that are easy. Listen, if you were to look at Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads us beside still waters. And he doesn't fear, even though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, that's completely contrary to what we hear about following Jesus now. Oh, the Lord would never take us through difficulty. Wrong. Following him means that we have to trust him when his word says something and the world says something contrary. Following Jesus, you have to trust him that he knows the way is best. When your friends say to you one thing that's completely contrary to the word, you follow him because you know his word is what is best. When God's word says no to certain actions and the world says yes, you follow the shepherd because you know the standards and the rules are for our good. Let me tell you something. This is an illustration I've used with teenagers when I was a youth pastor. There are guardrails on bridges for a reason. Well, I don't like the guardrails. Well, you're going to die. God's word, his standards, are for our good. And those guardrails are there, and so we trust him to lead us. Now listen, if you know him and you hear him, you can trust him when suffering comes your way. When sickness or disease or things fall apart, when marriages begin to crumble, when a child begins to wonder, when the employer says, we no longer need you, you can say, you are the good shepherd, and I will follow you. When you're concerned about where the next paycheck is going to come from, you say, Lord, you're the good shepherd. I will follow you. When you don't get to hear from your child who's abandoned you, you say, Lord, you're the shepherd. I will follow you. When those people who used to be your friends know that you're now following Jesus and your standards are no longer theirs, and they don't want to be a part of your quote-unquote religious world, and you feel abandoned, you say, Lord, you're the good shepherd. I will follow. And you trust that he's going to bring other people into your life who are going to be just as good and great friends, even better than those other friends. He is the good shepherd. And he knows what we need. So I have five statements, summations, questions I want to give you at this end this morning. Number one, are you one of Jesus' sheep? Number two, have you heard him? Can you say without a doubt that you know you've heard the shepherd call you by name? Is he calling you today? Is he saying your name today? Are you in the sheepfold of the world? Are you in the sheepfold of religiosity? And Jesus is saying your name. Then hear him and believe in him. Leave the sheepfold of the world and follow Jesus into his sheep, into his flock, and belong to him. Number three, believer, if you are a sheep, are you doing what you need to do so that you are hearing the shepherd well? Is there sin in your life to crush? Is there time that you need to give with the shepherd to hear his voice? Number four, our shepherd does not cancel culture us. And maybe there's something in your life as a sheep that maybe you're shameful of, that you know that it was wrong. But maybe today it is a confessing and acknowledging it to him and trusting that the shepherd who knows you is going to love you and to be faithful to you. Number five, our shepherd is leading you. He's leading us. Are you following him? Are you following him? Are you doing what he's called you to do? Jesus makes it very clear how we do this. I'm just going to give you this verse. We won't turn there for the sake of our time. Luke 9:23. Jesus says, if anyone is going to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. How do you follow the shepherd? Based on that verse, I'm going to quote it to you again. Luke 9:23. If anyone comes after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Let me put it to you in four simple terms. If you want to follow Jesus, number one, die to yourself and make Jesus king. Number two, be with Jesus and get to know Jesus. Number three, obey Jesus. Number four, live like Jesus. That's what it means to follow him. Is the shepherd calling you today by name here in this room and online? Then come where you are. Just simply call out to him. Say, Lord, you're the shepherd. I want to be a part of your sheep. Answer his call. Believer, maybe you are in this room and you know someone that's been wandering. Maybe the responsibility that God is calling you today to is to reach out to those people who say that they are sheep, but they're not walking like they need to. Reach out to them. Call out to them. And maybe today, God has spoken to you as his sheep, and he's saying to you, well done. Carry on. But he may be saying to you, sheep, you need to do this to follow me better. Is he your shepherd? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word today. Thank you, Lord, that you are a good shepherd to those who are your sheep. I do ask you, Father, this morning, Lord, through the preaching of your word, as you say in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the word of Christ. God, I've done what you've called me to do this morning, and now, Lord, I'm simply trusting your word and trusting that the proclamation of your word would quicken the ear to hear. And so, God, I pray for any in this room and those who are listening online who maybe for the very first time are hearing your voice and you're calling them. God, give them faith to believe. God, there may be some in this room who are saying that they've heard you, but they're not hearing you very well right now. So God, I pray you'd show them if there's sin in their life, or if it's simply the negligence of not being with you. And then God, move them, convict them, encourage them to do what's necessary for them to spend time with the shepherd so they can hear your voice well. God, thank you that you are not like our society that we live in today, that you cancel culture us. Thank you, God, that you know us and you continue to know us, and there will never be a time that you will unknow us. God, we need your help to faithfully follow you. So, Lord, there may be some in this room that you have charged, convicted, challenged, encouraged, or admonished on things that they know that they need to do or things they need to stop doing. Today, Lord, let there be a line drawn in the sand that they say, I follow Jesus, no matter how hard it is. Lord, you know the hearts of every person that's in this room. You know what's going through their mind right now, and you know the same thing for those who are listening online, whether listening today or whether listening 5 years from now. And so, God, I pray, be a good shepherd to your sheep today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand and as we sing the same song that we introduced to you, now that you've heard these truths, we're going to sing how Jesus is our good shepherd. So I want to encourage you to sing these truths to him. Acknowledge him, praise him for these things, but we'll be here to receive you. If you need to come for prayer for anything, or if you say, I've heard him, I want to follow him today for the first time, then you come. We're here to receive you. Let's obey.